Today we're going to be having a spiritual talk. We're in church, so it's an appropriate place for spiritually speaking, and that's the title of the sermon today. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. So if you're following along in your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. I'm sure many people have heard of the television show Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Are we familiar with Buffy and actress Sarah Michelle Gellar? Well, actress Sarah Michelle Gellar believes that she is a very spiritual person. Her spirituality is formulated by borrowing from a hodgepodge of religions of this world. She says, "I consider myself a spiritual individual. I believe in an idea of God, although it is my own personal idea." She said she finds most religions very interesting and that she's been to every kind of denomination: Catholic, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist. I don't think she understands denomination, but those are absolutely different religions. But she says that she's taken bits and pieces from all of those religions and customized it, formulating Sarahism, basically. And she also wants us to know that she has read through the entire Bible. That's expected from this world, is it not? It's very interesting how we connect spirituality to understanding and what we know. Sarah believes that she can gain an appropriate understanding of God by picking through different religions of this world. That, my friends, is impossible. How do we gain a true understanding of God, and how do we reflect a true spirituality? A true understanding of God must come from who? God Himself. And true spirituality is to reflect that understanding of who He is. A religion of the world will reflect a spirituality of this world. We expect this type of thought process for those who do not know Christ. But unfortunately, the Corinthians have engaged in such an idea of God. They are missing the point about why God has given them the Spirit. And they are living according not to the Spirit of God and the understanding that they have of Him, but they are living according to the spirit of this world. They are Christians, but yet living according to a worldly spirit. How many times have we seen that with some of the Christians that we meet today? How many times have I been guilty of stuff like that? The world and its spirit is always tempting us to follow its ideals, to think like it is thinking. Instead of focusing on a knowledge of God and the ability to reflect Him, we focus on the world and we reflect that spirit. What Sarah Michelle Gellar needs is a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. This is, remember, we're going back to Christianity 101. So you can really end this passage, or you could do a sermon from 10 to 13 alone. But I included 14 to 16 because I believe that this covers the activities of the Holy Spirit and how the information, the revelation of God, the wisdom of God that is incomprehensible to man, how is that delivered to you and I here today? That's what we're going to be talking about. And in that, we're going to be looking at how the Corinthians are not living like spiritual people. So three activities of the Holy Spirit that I see in this chapter. So it's a three-course meal, so get ready to eat. Three activities that I see that the Holy Spirit does in order to bring a true understanding of God to man today. The first activity is he revealed God's deepest thoughts, verses 10 through 11. For to us, God revealed them. Remember, Paul had just gotten finished saying that these are things which the eye has not seen, which has not entered into the heart of man. So how does that go from God to man? For to us, God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. We see here that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to reveal God's deepest thoughts. Isn't that interesting? How does he do that? Well, it says that part of his activity is that of a search engine. When we think of a search engine, what do our minds go to? I can't hear it. Say it. Google, right? Google is a great search engine that we've all become very, very dependent on. If you have some sort of illness and things like that, what do? You type your symptoms into Google, and then you end up having a heart attack because of the symptoms that you've just typed in. So don't type your symptoms into Google. But Google has a very massive search engine. It's kept a well-kept secret about how many servers that they employ, but it's estimated that they employ 2,376,640 servers in order to search out all of this information. They use a search algorithm called a PageRank, and they search or crawl over 20 billion websites every day. Google performs over 100 billion searches per month. Remember the card catalog system? Everyone's mad now, right? They're like, we used to have to look it up according to title, author, and subject. And you remember that? Going through that card catalog? Some of the kids are like, what on earth is a card catalog system? Well, ask your parents about it. But you remember, even as remarkable as Google is, the Holy Spirit is exponentially greater. After all, there is absolutely nothing God's Spirit does not know. The Spirit, it says here, searches all things, even the depths of God. The Spirit knows the number of hairs on your head, every subconscious memory, and every subliminal desire. The value of pi to the 10th million decibel and beyond, you name it, God knows it, and He is searching all things, all the time. The wisdom that was given to the apostles, so when he says, for to us, it has been revealed, I believe Paul is now switching and talking about the revelation that was given to the apostles and the writers of the New Testament. That revelation was given to them by the Holy Spirit. How did he do that? Remember, the wisdom of God was hidden with God. It was a mystery and it was hidden. So now we have a picture of the Holy Spirit going into God, understanding God, and searching out all of that hidden wisdom, and then pulling it forth and revealing it to the apostles. Here, Paul is trying to let the Corinthians know that the Spirit is uniquely qualified to reveal God's wisdom. They are turning to this world, and Paul is saying, that's not how you learned about God. You learned about God from the Spirit. the Corinthians have been turning away from God's wisdom and towards that of the world. And Paul reminds them that this wisdom comes from God's deepest thoughts because it was revealed by God's Spirit. Paul earlier said that this wisdom was a mystery and was hidden. It has now been made known to them and dug up by the Holy Spirit. This word for reveal. So there were certain aspects of God's thoughts. God, the Holy Spirit has not revealed all of those thoughts, but there were certain treasures of God's thought. The Holy Spirit then digs up those thoughts that God has chosen to reveal, mainly His plan of redemption. And the Holy Spirit then pulls back the curtain and reveals a great treasure. And that treasure is then exposed to Paul and the apostles and those who have the message of Jesus Christ. Think about the depths of God's wisdom. Think about His deepest thoughts. The Holy Spirit is much better than Google. It doesn't even compare. The Holy Spirit searches out the deep thoughts. This word for deep things can mean the depths, the thoughts, the areas of concern. Part of those thoughts included you and I here today. Isn't that amazing? You know, don't you get excited when someone says to you, "I've been thinking of you"? Doesn't that make you feel good? Hey, I've been thinking about you lately. I've been praying for you lately. God's deepest thoughts, His plan of salvation, His redemption, everything that included Jesus Christ, those thoughts included us. He knew one day, He said, "I'm going to save Nate Tinsley." Way before even Nate Tinsley was even born. "I'm going to save Tim Chick. I'm going to save Linda Dorenzo." God was thinking about us. He had planned to save man, and you and I are part of that plan. Paul shows the qualification of the Holy Spirit, de-emphasizing man's capabilities to know God by using a classic argument. It's called like for like. Like knows like. What does he say? Who knows a man except who? The spirit of a man. Don't you just love it when someone comes to a conclusion about who you are or what you've just done based upon minimal information? Doesn't that make you excited? And they come to a wrong conclusion about that. Does everyone enjoy that? Who understands you? You do. Can you imagine what it must be like to be God? Please don't go there. Never mind. I don't want to introduce heresy. Don't imagine what it's like to be God. This is why I'm not God. Because every time someone wrote a book about me, and they were like, "Right, how many books have been written about God that are just absolutely wrong?" I would just burn that book up, and in the ashes, I would write, "Ha ha, you're wrong. Talk to my spirit." But that's how many times do people get it wrong about God? And God's like, "You can't understand me." Remember what God says. "You thought I was just like you, but you're wrong." The only way that we can truly understand who God is through His Holy Spirit. Because His Holy Spirit is God. Who knows God better than God Himself? Paul is taking issue and saying to them, look, you're turning away from the source of true understanding and you're turning to the world. Like for like, if you have God's Spirit, then you can truly understand God, but it is not to end there. That understanding should then formulate who we are. We take that understanding of who he is and we faithfully represent him to this world. The wisdom of God, God's true wisdom, is a locked door to natural man. The key is the Holy Spirit. And thankfully, God has given all of us that key to truly understand his ways. Paul is reminding them, and listen to what he says here. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? So that we may know the things or understand the things freely given to us by God. The Corinthian church is relying upon a different key. They are seeking and they are living according to the spirit of this world. And Paul's like, what are you doing? That's not what you're supposed to be doing. God has given you the spirit so that you can understand him. But that understanding doesn't stop there. The understanding that we have of God, we need to then do what? Apply to our lives. If the Holy Spirit is uniquely qualified to reveal God to humans, then who should we be depending on in this world as we live out that wisdom? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key to understanding God's ways, and God has given each of us that key. What is derived from the world cannot build a bridge to understand God. Sarah Michelle Gellar and all of those like her will never come to a true understanding of God unless his spirit does something inside of them. Paul reminds them that this spirit of God was freely given. It was not achieved by them. They weren't smarter than the rest of this world. These things that we understand have been freely given to us. Therefore, we can depend upon the Spirit and not this world. The Spirit is the key to God's wisdom, and our reliance should therefore be on him and not man. The second activity of the Holy Spirit that I see here is he inspired human messengers. So we're going through the process. The Holy Spirit takes what was hidden, he reveals it, he searches, and then he reveals it. He uncovers it to the apostles, and then he inspires them what to say to those who are listening. Verse 13. These things which we also speak. How do we speak them? Well, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Everyone is familiar with the game show Jeopardy. There's good old Alex right there. There's a routine taping of Jeopardy. And it became social media meme fodder recently when a contestant incorrectly pronounced a well-known 90s rap anthem. Host Alex Trebek read the clue to contestant Nick Speicher, and the clue was this: a song by Coolio from Dangerous Minds goes back in time to become a 1667 John Milton classic. So the Coolio song, John Milton classic, and he put the two together, and that's what he did, and he attempted his answer, and it was Gangster's Paradise Lost. Everything proceeded normally until later on in the taping when Speicher was approached by a producer with the bad news. The judges had to rescind his previously awarded money after reviewing his answer because he had incorrectly pronounced one of the words. Coolio's rap song, and I'm sure you all know this, is named Gangsta's Paradise. according to the gangsta. Okay, does everyone get that? According to the explanation on the Jeopardy website, the word gangsta is wholly distinct from gangster. Everyone say gangsta. All right, there we go. I just wanted to make you guys say that. This makes sense as the words evoke a different cultural situation. Gangster, you think of Elliot Ness, Al Capone, pinstripes, and Tommy guns. Gangsta, you think of Ice Cube and all the other rappers holding sideways Glocks in South Central LA in the 1990s. You know, that whole, yeah, okay. Spicer, two different words, two different worlds, two different times, two different meanings. Spicer was a good sport about the gaffe afterwards, saying on Twitter he will be forever proud of the moment when Alex Trebek taught him how to say gangsta. And now I'm sure you always remember that word from and Coolio's rap. You're going to be looking that up. It's a pretty good song, actually. If words on Jeopardy, a game show, are that important, how much more important are words that have to do with life and death? What is Paul saying here? He's letting them know that the Holy Spirit did something. The Corinthian church is beginning to be embarrassed about the message of Christ, the message of the cross, thinking it's weak, thinking it's not true wisdom. Paul is reminding them that, look, we did not turn to this world for them to teach us what to say about this message. We relied upon the Holy Spirit. Again, using this whole like-for-like scenario. Spiritual truth is expressed in spiritual language to spiritual people. That is exactly what Paul is saying here. The second aspect, the activity of the Holy Spirit, is that he inspired those apostles and those preachers. And what we have here today, we believe, is an accurate rendition of the original manuscripts that were taught by who? The Holy Spirit. Remember what it says in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture, every word is God-breathed. And we believe that we have an accurate rendition of those original manuscripts. Spiritual truth needs spiritual expression that is taught by the Holy Spirit and understood by those in whom the Spirit is working. Do you and I believe this? Do we believe that what we have here is an accurate copy of the original manuscripts and that these words were taught by God Himself? Because this is one of the most challenged doctrines in the church today. Challenged by the world, and it's beginning to be challenged by those in the church. A recent episode of Larry King Now, back in 2014, featured a panel of guests discussing the future of faith in America. Two of the guests voiced their views on the Bible. When asked if the Bible was trustworthy or reputable, the atheist scientist Lawrence Krauss said this: the Bible was written basically before people knew anything. Really? A self-proclaimed New Thought minister said this: the Bible is an evolution of human consciousness. Humanists say if their view of the Bible is correct, millions of Bible believers, churchgoers, are wasting their time, money, and energy. Humanity's condition could be greatly improved if those resources were used for solving the world's problems instead of worshiping a non-existent God. Folks, that is what people think about this book right here. if what Paul is saying is not true, I am wasting my life. I'm wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. And the world's problems can be solved otherwise. Do we not believe just the opposite? We believe that the message that God has given us, his thoughts, revealed to the apostles and the writers in the New Testament and written down, the words that Paul was given are some of the words that I am talking to you today. We must trust that what we have came from God. If not, we are all in very big trouble. The doctrine of inspiration is not that the Holy Spirit set aside meetings with each of the apostles and the writers of Scripture so that he could dictate to them what to say. That's not what we're saying here. He didn't say, no, you got that wrong, and there he is talking to Paul, and okay, take another note. He's not saying that. Inspiration is where the Spirit moves in the individual through their personalities, temperaments, styles, and culture to reflect the proper words that convey God's thoughts that have been revealed. Folks, there is really no middle ground for this belief. There's none. And we are going to be challenged all the more as this world progresses further. So we need to be prepared. I have conversations with people about this book all the time. And the hard thing about this doctrine is not only is it being challenged by the world, it's being challenged by the church, those who profess Christ. I struggle each week to try to accurately understand this because I believe this truth, that there were specific words given by the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and that's the words that we have here today. So I'm trying and I'm afraid that one day I'm going to get some things wrong, and I probably have. But there are preachers out there who want to make this more palatable and acceptable, and they're changing the words, and in reality, they're changing God's thoughts. I had someone tell me one time, they listened to one of my sermons, and they said, I would never use words like justified or sanctified. Well, why not? Well, because they're too Christianese. Aren't I talking to Christians? And if I'm not talking to Christians, I can trust this truth here, that God is doing something in your hearts and minds through His Spirit. Do you see what happens when we begin not to trust this? We'll go to all sorts of gimmicks to get people's attention. I believe that when I'm trying to be faithful to the Scripture, and I know I don't say it all correctly, believe me, there are I know something spiritual has happened because there are times when I repent after a sermon. Lord, I'm so sorry I said those things. I had no idea what I was saying. I can't believe I said it. And I'm all worried, and I'm thinking to myself, what on earth was I thinking? And then someone comes up to me, tears streaming down. This is the best sermon you ever gave. Really? Yeah, it just hit me right here. I don't know what happened. Well, actually, I do. What happened? There's a spiritual transaction that's going on, folks. And man alive, I'm thankful for that. God's Spirit taught the apostles what to say. We need not be ashamed of that truth. It gives us confidence in what we believe. Spiritual truth needs spiritual expression and is understood by spiritual people. the third and final activity of the Holy Spirit, and this brings it down right here, folks, right to our minds, is he illuminates our natural minds, verses 14 through 16. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul now turns to the antithesis of the spiritual man, and that's the natural man. And what he is kind of saying here is, you guys are acting like the natural man. You are acting like the man who does not accept or understand the things of God. They are acting like Law on Night at the Museum 3. Have you ever seen Night at the Museum 3 with Law? Law is a Neanderthal man who has been brought back to life because of the special powers in Night at the Museum 3. And Law is played by the same character who plays Larry. And Law doesn't get a thing. Look at him. He thinks Larry is his dada. And they're trying to explain certain things to him. And Law is just absolutely clueless to the world around him. As a matter of fact, one time, Law is eating the styrofoam peanuts from the cases that are holding all the antiques. When it comes to spiritual things, this is the natural man. And this is what we look like when we try to follow the wisdom of this world. The natural man, Law, do we want to look like this? Absolutely not. Law does not understand the things of God. He is absolutely clueless to the things around him. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. He refuses them. And all of these things that are listed here regarding the natural man, we should remember when we are out there trying to proclaim that truth. We should expect this response. Because unless God's Spirit is working on the hearts and minds of individuals, this is what is going to happen. This is what happened to us before God's Spirit opened our minds. The natural man does not accept the things of God. As a matter of fact, they are foolishness to him. What happens is the church sees that reaction and they want to change it, don't they? And what do? They dress this truth up in all sorts of weird looking costumes just so they can get people to believe. I remember one time I heard a guy give a gospel presentation, or what they thought was a gospel presentation. And he was talking to a gentleman, and he was saying, "Hey, how good are you?" "Oh, how good am I?" And he said, "Well, give me a percentage about how good are you when it comes to, you know, the things of God." "Ah, maybe 50%. "Well, then Jesus makes up the other 50% for you." That's what he said to him. That's pretty appealing, right? "Ah, I only need 50% of Jesus." Right? Some of us may think we're 90%, right? "I only need 10% of Jesus." People will dress up that truth to make it more acceptable, turning to a wisdom of this world, and that's exactly what the Corinthians are doing. They're ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's not being accepted. Paul's saying, this is the reality, folks. They do not accept it, they think it is foolish, and they just don't understand it. They're like trying to tell Law about Google or search engines or whatever it is. Law's just not going to get it. Larry, on the other hand, gets it. There's Larry, played by the same actor. He does a great job. Larry is clear thinking. He dresses according to the reality that he is living in. You can have a normal conversation with Larry. Larry understands and lives according to the knowledge that he has. That is the spiritual man. He says here that those things are only appraised by those with the Spirit. That word for appraise means they are discerned by those with the Spirit. They are understood by those with the Spirit. How is it that you and I can pick up this book, read this book, and then come to a completely different conclusion that someone who does not believe in Christ, how do we get there? What happens? Is it because I'm smarter? Is it because that I've been trained more? Is it because of my genes? Is it because of something inside of me? Absolutely not. The difference, plain and simple, is God's Spirit opens our minds to understand His wisdom. Spiritual things are appraised and discerned by those with His Spirit. The natural man will never understand such truths. Louis and Jeanette, a couple in their 80s, have a 55-year-old son who is severely mentally handicapped. All of his life he has been this way. He's in a fine institution, and as Christian parents, Louis and Jeanette were concerned about Louis's, that's his name, about Louis's spiritual development, and prayed for him often. But their son only speaks an occasional short phrase or few isolated words at a time. So they never knew. They were unsure if he knew or understood anything about the gospel of Christ. It's a tough situation for parents to be in, isn't it? Who believe in the Lord. However, when Louis was 50 years old, an amazing thing happened. The family was together on a car ride. And as they were riding along, all of a sudden, without warning or prompting, Louis began to speak. Just out of the blue. He says this, "Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. You know, Jesus was born." He continues, "Jesus died to save us from our sins. He then rose again. Yes, He did." These are the only complete sentences that these parents ever heard from their son. Louis and Jeanette were greatly touched by hearing those words from their son, and it turned out that someone a few days earlier had conducted a catechism group, and Louis was a part of it. And apparently, he absorbed more of the material than anyone could have imagined. God can reach any heart and mind with the gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless of human limitation. What a powerful truth. What a wonderful story. How did Louis understand? God's Spirit. Nothing inside of us. It has nothing to do with us. It all has to do with God's Spirit. God's Spirit makes God's truth personal to you and I. He brings it down right here to our hearts, opening our minds to understand the only true saving wisdom that there is. And He can do it for anyone. It does not matter. He gives us His Spirit and makes His Word personal. This is a person-to-person transaction. The wisdom that he reveals and he gives to them is life-changing. God's Spirit teaches, guides, comforts, convicts, and restores. God has not left us alone. He has left us a helper to understand his ways each and every day. This is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. And because we have his Spirit, this world cannot judge us. Paul reminds them, he who is spiritual is not judged or discerned or understood by those who are not. So don't worry about what this world thinks about you. Don't go after this world. Once again, like is known by like. Can people without the Spirit understand people who have the Spirit? Nope. So should we worry about that? Absolutely not, folks. We have God's Spirit. And because we have God's Spirit, we can truly understand his ways. Who has instructed the mind of the Lord? It surely is not this world. So if this world has not instructed God's mind, why should it instruct ours? Because we have the mind of Christ. We are a community of believers that have the key to God's ways and apply those ways to shape our lives after who? Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should rely upon the Holy Spirit and not the spirit of this world. The Holy Spirit is the key to understanding God's ways. He revealed God's deepest thoughts. He inspired human messengers, and he illuminates our natural minds. Praise be to God for leaving us his Spirit until the work on earth is done. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Help us to continue to rely upon him and trust in him, knowing that we are not judged by this world, nor should we care what this world thinks about us. Help us to be faithful to the message that you have given, trusting your Spirit to lead others to that saving knowledge that is found only in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray.